This is Reunion, written by Sio Scribe and read by
Coffee Mage,
Gil Rayner,
CC Rambles,
Jitania,
Dr. Fumbles McStupid,
Semper Fiona,
Jack's Long Coat,
and Tipsy Kitty. Fandom, Carrie. Additional tags include horror, urban legends, creepypasta, ghosts, and unreliable narrator.
Sue hears stories about Carrie White.
Turn out all the lights, but keep a candle with you. Look in the mirror, chant, Carrie White, won't you come to prom tonight? If you have a good heart, all that will happen is that your reflection will turn bright red. If you don't, your candle will flare up, and if you see her in the mirror before you snuff it out...
My cousin Brad, okay, he has this friend, and the friend's girlfriend was a total bitch who dumped him right before prom. And I mean right before, like he'd already bought a corsage. And Brad says, you know, you can't let this girl ruin your whole night. You already rented a tux. These are the memories that are going to last a lifetime. Which, like, I fucking hope not. Jesus. Anyway, Brad convinces him to come to prom anyway, just to go stag. And the friend, he meets this girl there. She's not really that pretty, but she's sort of sweet and shy, you know, the type. So a weird thing is that she likes him, but she keeps saying that she won't dance because she doesn't know any of the songs. I mean, these are your basic school dance songs. So Brad's friend thinks, okay, that's a little strange, but she said she was from a different school, and he starts getting the idea that maybe she's lying and she's really homeschooled, and that would explain why she's so shy and weird. Anyway, one more weird thing happens before they leave. They're announcing prom king and queen, and the girl turns to him, and she says, do you think they'll make me queen again? At first, he thinks she's joking, but it sounds like she's scared out of her mind. But when they call out names, she relaxes again. And then, at the end of the night, he asks her if she wants to, you know, go somewhere, and she says, okay. But then she starts freaking out and saying over and over again, my mama wouldn't like it, mama wouldn't like it. So the friend's like, just my luck. But he's a nice guy, so he doesn't lose it or anything. He just says he'll take her home. She starts giving him directions, but they don't make any sense. She's telling him to turn off on streets that aren't there. And he parks again and says, okay, look, I'm doing my best here, but... But he looks over and the girl just isn't there anymore. And the whole passenger seat is just soaked with blood.
They say that a man in Chamberlain woke up to find all of his pigs had vanished, like someone had freed them. In the mud, there were a girl's footprints. She must have been wearing some kind of fancy shoes, the farmer said. Not work boots or sneakers like you'd usually wear to wade around in pig slop. She must have been wearing her dancing shoes. Put that in your police report, he said, and spat tobacco between his teeth. We all know who it was, yes we do, and I don't want any trouble. I might just raise sheep.
Most of the people who report seeing Carrie White only see her for a moment. A little girl in her Sunday school class, coloring a picture of Noah's Ark and all the animals, and she accidentally breaks her blue crayon. Carrie White stoops down and presses a new crayon into the little girl's hand. I like Noah's Ark, she says to the little girl. She seems both wishful and frightening, the way ghosts often do. Because God drowns all the wicked, and Noah just floats away, and he and his family, and every one of the animals has another animal just like it. Nobody has to be alone. Are you alone? The girl, who must be an unusually precocious child, says. Depending on who's telling the story and what they believe, Carrie either says, I think so, or... I'm with God now. Or sometimes,
we're all alone down here.
She vanishes, and the child resumes her coloring. The crayon Carrie gives her is not blue, but red. This story is typical.
On two separate occasions in the state of Maine, children, post-pubescent in both cases, have killed their parents. Subsequent investigations showed the children had been living barren lives. Both were friendless. Neither had pillows on their beds, a detail that was noted by defense. Carrie White was also not allowed a pillow. The prosecution said he wasn't aware that pillows quelled homicidal tendencies. One of the children, the girl, had an enormous bruise on her face at the time of the murder. It had just started fading to yellow. Both of them said, "I didn't do it alone. Carrie helped me." Only one of them was acquitted.
1982 was the first year any company made Carrie White masks for Halloween. Rubbery pale flesh streaked with fake blood, long dishwater blonde wigs, and sparkly tiaras. Gore-spattered prom dresses sold separately. The company rode out the outrage and, any publicity is good publicity, raked in the cash. By 1985, every major costume vendor had an equivalent, with some generic fig leaf of a name like Bloody Prom Queen or Bad Prom Date. Supposedly, in 1987, they had to pull all of them off the market because people died. These boys, half the football team of shit-kicker high, basically, decided to play a prank on this girl none of them liked. Her parents were hoarders, and she always sort of smelled like cat pee. One time, a roach had crawled out of her coat sleeve right in front of everybody. She was a loser, but she had a crush on the quarterback, and everybody knew it. It was funny how she thought she could do that. The quarterback told her that he wanted to go to this Halloween party with her. He wanted them to do this themed costume, Famous Murders. He was going to be Charles Whitman, and she could go as Carrie White. Wasn't that perfect? Both CW names. He even bought the costume for her, the mask and prom dress both, and a bloody corsage like a gentleman. Then he drove her to the party where everyone was waiting, a crowd of all the town's favorite sons and daughters gathered around a bonfire drinking beer. The girl had steeled herself against the possibility that she might get there and find that no one else was in costume. The quarterback had kept his word and dressed like Charles Whitman, but the only reason she could tell that was because he'd shown her a photo. He looked normal. "I remember thinking," she would say later, "that he looked normal and I looked like a monster, you know, like I wasn't even human. I had my face all covered up. And I was thinking that I didn't see why there was a mask for Carrie but not for him, why she was supposed to be so different. But I guess it's good that they thought she was, right? It's good, isn't it?" Then she broke down weeping. The reason she thought it might be good was because of what happened next. She was relieved. Almost everybody was wearing a costume. She wasn't being tricked after all. He opened the car door for her and helped her out. Her face was already sweating underneath the rubber mask, and she was hoping it wouldn't be gross if he took it off at some point to kiss her. She missed what he said to his friends, something like, "Well, she's here." That was when the first water balloon hit her. They really were water balloons in this case, but they'd used several little dropper bottles of food coloring to turn all the water dark red. It looked like blood, though much thinner. There were dozens of them. One of them smacked her in the eye, hurting her even through the mask, and she dropped down onto her hands and knees on the grass, trying to just curl up and make it stop. Somebody dumped a whole basin of the dyed water over her head, drenching her. Around about then was when the bonfire got out of control. It seemed to flare up, like a candle in the hand of someone wicked, someone chanting, Carrie White, won't you come to prom tonight?" and out. Of the 27 people at the party, 14, including the quarterback, died of severe burns. Another 3 wished they would have. The only one completely unharmed was the girl in the Carrie costume. Testing later showed that she had no TK abilities, significant or insignificant. She couldn't move so much as a bristle on a fly's leg, though the town blamed her nonetheless. Eventually, the authorities decided that the water balloons had, ironically, saved her life. She was too doused for the fire to catch, somehow. The exact company that had made that mask and dress considered briefly that this might be good for them, a surprisingly fireproof costume. But they watched the news coverage, ran the numbers, and quietly shelved the bad prom date line. And every other company reportedly did the same, though as late as 1991, you could still sometimes find them in stores. Things float around in storage and come out again. Or factories do a limited run in select areas to see if they sell well, to see if the scandal is gone. Occasionally, one of these later costumes will have bloody fingerprints on its plastic wrapper. That's printed on, the Halloween store man explain. They do that because it looks spooky.
Despite TV news, despite microfiche, despite direct phone calls to the people supposedly involved, when the people involved have names at all, Sue doesn't know which stories are true and which aren't. Maybe none of them are real. Maybe all of them are. All she knows is that the only Carrie White story she was in had a bad ending. She doesn't know whether it's hope or suicidal recklessness for her to turn the page and try again. If Carrie is still out there somehow, maybe it's best not to draw her attention. Maybe it's best not to look in the mirror and call on her, if you don't know that you're pure of heart. But Sue does it anyway. She isn't even sure why. Some people, she thinks, never really get over high school. She has a little trailer now, one with potted begonias in the window, and cabinets she's painted aquamarine. It's a neat and homey place, and she likes it. Some days, she thinks that Carrie would be happy to see that she has such a small and ordinary life, that she hasn't gone on to startling popular girl successes. Other times, she just thinks that this is probably all Carrie ever wanted. Quiet. Choices. Color. And that could be enough for Carrie to be jealous of her after all. She guesses she'll know after tonight. It's a little after midnight. She does the ritual in her bathroom, where she has some small items, charms almost, lined up in a row on the edge of the sink. A broken blue crown, a Halloween mask, a newspaper clipping detailing the story about the farmer and his pigs. In her hand, she has a candle. She meant to buy special candles for this. But she was afraid that if she waited to go get them, she would lose her nerve and never find it again. She thinks, this is only the second time in my life I've been brave, and I don't want to waste it. So the candle is a half-melted purple one, leftover mood lighting from the only date she's had in the last 2 years. The flame is small and flickering. Sue says, Carrie White, won't you come to prom tonight? The candle winks out. There is warm breath against her ear, and a scent. It isn't pig's blood or fire. It's sickly sweet fruit punch, the kind they have at school dances. Carrie, Sue whispers. There's no answer, but gradually, in the mirror, even in the dark, she begins to see their outlines, two pale blurs against the glass.
At least, that's what people say.
The end.